going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. There is a ton for us to discuss as it pertains to the NFL draft. The Bears have made all of their picks. They've signed free agents, street free agents, and we are going to discuss them as long as the day goes on. Mike Hall is going to join us at 4 o'clock today. Mark Grody is going to return to do a Bears hit. Two words. Today at 5 o'clock, and we'll break some stuff down from the draft itself. There's a lot of interesting national stories with the draft this year too. The Shedeur Sanders thing, talk about that a little bit later on. And I am surprised at some of the rhetoric that around it, but we'll get to it later on in the show.
Who am I? That man is who am I?
That man.
Oh, thank you. Whew. God, it's hard.
It's Matt Spiegel.
Yeah, it's hard to do. It is. The national thing was funky. The whole draft was a funky thing. Mel Kiper broke. And I feel bad for Mel on some level, but the whole conversation around the draft is a pretty fascinating thing. I believe that the White House press secretary commented on the president's about Shedeur Sanders today.
Well, and he got pulled into the draft because of Clay Matthews.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, like, you know.
Yeah. We got GM children out there being part of ugly pranks, man. This was a chaotic weekend of the NFL showing you it's the boss even in its offseason.
Yeah, it was still pretty, I thought, pretty exciting, and I think wonderful for the Bears in what it is that they got. And I know that there are people that are still upset about the Tyler Warren thing versus the Colston Loveland thing. I imagine some folks have maybe come around and they're like, oh, you know what? This kid is really athletic and could do some stuff.
Here's the thing. I feel like this entire Bears draft was odd. Like, it felt kind of frustrating in real time. I certainly felt that, and I saw a lot of reaction to that. And it takes some contextualizing and some intellectual processing to figure out what happened here, because we were a part of it, but you and I would dig in and really try to get in there, and we try to bring stuff to each other to try and figure out what is draft narrative, draft prep narrative, and what is not about these guys. Like, if you're comparing what the Bears did to what the popular draft narratives were, then it's quizzical. Colston Loveland's better than Tyler Warren? Huh? They waited until round 7 to get a running back?
Yeah. Huh?
They took a speed linebacker who's more of a Sam. They took like a Jack Sanborn replacement in the 4th round? Huh?
They took a tackle that might be your starting right tackle, and that might mean that you have to move a guy from right tackle to left tackle.
Or he could just be your swing. They took another offensive lineman who might be a backup center with what seemed like a premium pick.
They took a defensive tackle that likes to hit people in the ding ding.
Yeah, oh, that one's kind of fun. You called that, by the way, on Friday.
He's a good player, man.
So they didn't take an edge rusher. There's like There's no edge rusher in this draft for these guys. What are they doing? Like, so there was a bunch of things, and they seemed to trade down like three different times, you know? And they did trade down three different times. And every time seemed to be after a running back left the board, you know, that maybe they wanted. So here's what I feel like we got to remember. And you know this, Lawrence, that the draft narratives have very little to do with what they're actually doing. Like, their job is to dig in on the tape and evaluate players and stay true and honest to their perspective and not get caught up in what the mocks are saying and everything like that. And we, of course, get caught up in what the mocks are saying, and then you judge it against that, and it takes you a little while to figure out. We'll talk about these picks in detail. There's a bunch of them that make a lot more sense once you really think about it and dig in on the context. It just takes some work.
That's why I always talk about, like, lying season. And I think that it's not a coincidence that the Bears and Tyler Warren were connected. Like, I think that that's part of the job of the team, is to try and make it as advantageous as possible when they're thinking about drafting. So sure, let people think that that's who we're targeting. Oh, we're not targeting him. Our secondary target is a running back, and we're going to trade up for that running back. You do all of that so that people don't know that the guy that you think is Sam Laporta is Colston Loveland.
Yeah. The guy that you can't really run a Ben Johnson offense without is Colston Loveland. Like, if you want to have that tight end who can do everything, that's who you needed to get and not Tyler Warren. That's the part that I didn't get. Well, I didn't understand it.
So wait, but I want to be clear about this too when it comes to Tyler Warren, because I don't want to go from the Bears should have drafted Tyler Warren too. No, he totally doesn't fit with the Bears. I think he would have fit fine.
He could have fit.
What they wanted to do. I think that Loveland is a better fit. And I just think that just the speed and the route running is going to allow him. I have some questions about Tyler Warren overall, and I wish he wouldn't have gone to the Colts. I wish he would have gone to a better passing offense than the one that he is going to. But maybe that gets corrected next season, and he'll be fine after they either decide that Richardson's the guy and he improves, or they say, screw it, we're going to go draft another guy.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. I understand. But it's like, these guys, they're looking for ball players. They're really looking for ball players, and they're breaking down way more tape than I did, than you did, than any of our listeners did, anybody doing a mock draft. And they're meeting with these guys and figuring out who are ballers. Did you see what the Lions did this week? All their personnel in the draft room, they had T-shirts. They gave out T-shirts. It said HWS, which stood for height, weight, and speed. And they had a line crossing through it. Okay. Screw the height, weight, and speed. Looking for ball players. Looking for ballers is the message. And when you break down these guys, freaking Luther Burden, man. Holy, there's some issues there.
There are some issues there, I know, which we'll get to.
Ooh, but that dude is a baller. He's got that thing. This seventh round running back doesn't have the breakaway speed, but oh my God, is he a player when you watch the tape and you figure out it's a two-time captain who never fumbled in 707 touches over 2 years. Like, there's a bunch of ballers who may not have some of the measurables, so they didn't get up in the draft narratives, but these guys, they're trusting their vision and they're taking who they like.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, and by the way, I really like that Ryan Poles thanked the families of the front office people. But he's like, I understand what this is like. Like, these, let's say it's the last 4 months. What the last 4 months is like is that you're probably not seeing your loved one. Your loved one is staying at the facility, crunching through tape, making recommendations, like all of this stuff. So I appreciated him saying that, because you don't think about it that way, but clearly he did. Here's what he said about the overall philosophy that the Bears had going into this draft.
Really did a good job following the board and kind of letting it talk to us. We were going to just continue to bring really good football players in here. And when you look at the roster, like, you feel good about really all 22 guys starting and playing in a pro football game. So when you're taking these guys, you know that it's going to increase the level of competition. You know that you're adding depth. You know that you're just throwing more talent. And everything usually settles out the way it's supposed to when you continue to do that. That's what I think really good rosters do.
Do they have any target at edge?
At edge?
Any intentionality of adding the edge?
Yeah, so again, I'll go back to the discipline part. We're going to look at the board and see where it's at. If there's someone we really like, then we'll pick the player.
The board, letting the board come to them and just kind of trusting it. He didn't dismiss this idea that they traded down three times just after running backs had left. You see that? Like, they brought that up to him, and he didn't dismiss that idea. They were just trusting their vision and trusting their board. Now, if their vision sucks, we got a problem.
Well,
but they got to trust their vision.
But we won't know that for a while. We won't know whether any of this stuff makes sense. And there was something that I noted, you know, this past weekend where I'm like, all right, I'm just going to put that over here and see if it ends up playing out. And that's like the idea of maybe Ben and the coaching staff is kind of seeing what they want to see, because there's so many players that they comped to other players that he coached. And so do you really see it, or was it just like, oh, well, yeah, this guy is totally like this guy. Like, are you wish casting it? So it's something that
confirmation bias gets all of us.
It truly does. But
every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I thought that their draft was fascinating from some of the choices that they made. I also think it seems clear to me, and maybe you disagree, this felt like Ben's draft.
Oh, big time.
This felt like he and I appreciate Ryan Poles being confident or comfortable enough to be like, yeah, I'm going to let my coach kind of guide my hand a little bit in this. If he needs a second round receiver, even though we've already got Roman, DJ's locked up for a while, fine, go ahead and get them.
Absolutely. You need specific kind of weapons to do what you want to do, you go ahead. And that's the way football organization has to be, man. The GM, it's got to be true alignment. It really does, and I think they've got it. And you know what? On the defensive guys, it's Dennis Allen's vision. On Hippolyte, the linebacker who we're talking about, the speed guy who's really more of a Sam, we don't know what he's going to be. We're thinking about it from the Matt Eberflus perspective. We don't know if Tremaine Edmonds is going to be exactly what he was for Matt Eberflus under Dennis Allen. We know they needed to get faster. Hippolyte is fast as hell.
Well, that is something that definitely carried through the draft. And Poles said it, like, they were looking to add speed to their roster, and they did that.
And they're going to get pressure through scheme and speed. So, no, they don't go get an edge rusher. But Dennis Allen has always gotten pressure through scheme and speed. So let's go. What are they going to use that linebacker for? How is he going to get utilized? They might play three backers sometimes. And still play Kyler. Like, three backers in a Dennis Allen defense might not mean there's no Kyler. You know, they're talking about getting other positions. Maybe Hippolyte's going to play when Kyler plays a little safety or plays a little corner.
Yeah, they went and got themselves a man corner, too.
Yes, they did.
You know, so there's a lot of stuff to kind of digest, and we'll continue to do so. And we're going to let you hear from our experts, too. As a matter of fact, one of our experts had a thought on how this draft went and how the roster is being constructed.